Welcome to the teaching ministry of First United Methodist Church and Pastor Steve Kedon. We offer these messages in the hope that the Word of God will comfort the hurting, confront the comfortable, and create new life in us all. Let us now join together and offer our lives to God in worship.
Thank you. That story just really struck with me, and maybe, hopefully it did with you as well. The idea that for Pastor Luke, when as a boy, this is where people had gathered for voodoo to worship the devil. And now he's looking at a place to build a church there and to bring the good news. And that's the kind of stories that you hear over and over and over again. And you'll hear consistently, I don't know, Pastor Luke said yesterday, you know, there's nothing that he ever really does. Any church that he's ever started, he's had a dream about it prior to that, where he's been commanded to go build a church. And so there's that sense in Haiti of God's movement, of God's spirit, of saying, this is a movement. It is a wave that is coming over you. So we're glad that he's here and to share his life and his story with us this morning. For the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about the character of God, and I think having Pastor Luke here kind of says, what is God doing in our lives, and how do we respond to the movement of God? What is the character of God? And you can never really just say, well, it's just like this, because that would make it so easy and so self-contained, and it would be this one picture. But consistently through the Bible, there are these images, because God is so bigger, so much bigger than our image. And we started off this summer by talking about the character of God, and we said, God, in Jeremiah chapter 18, he said, I am the potter, and you are the clay. I am the potter, you are the clay. There's that image in all of us of God shaping and molding us. And in that image, we get some ideas of the character of God. How do we relate to God? Well, if God is the potter, then he establishes our purpose and our mission, as Pastor Luke was saying. We have a mission. We're being created. All of the circumstances and all of their events, God is shaping and molding us. And so there's a sense of the authority of God. The Bible talks about, can the pot say to the potter, why did you make me like this? There's a sense of authority. And I ask you this morning as we gather in the sanctuary, what is your authority? What governs the decisions and the direction of your life? There's a sense of authority. There's also a sense of accountability. At the end of the day, it's the potter that looks and says, this isn't what I made you for. I made you for something else, something greater. There's a sense of authority, and there's a sense of accountability. We come before the potter to be molded and to be shaped by the Word and by prayer and by the Spirit. Last week, we talked about God is like a shepherd. The Lord, David writes, the Lord is my shepherd. And another way of saying, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, or another way of writing that is, the Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need. And so if the Lord is your shepherd, what do you have? You have abundance. You have a sense of security. You also have a sense of God guiding you, of protection, of shaping and molding, that life has a path, that while sometimes you feel frightened and alone, and I'm out here all by myself in a very big world, David says, the Lord is my shepherd. I have everything that I need. If God is beside me, what else do I need? What are we searching for? Where are we going? Have we lost our way? Do you hear the voice of the shepherd? And so we get a sense that God is a potter, that God is a shepherd. But we have so many other images. And I want to take on another image this morning and maybe share a little bit with you about another image. And it's the image of the woman at the well. Now, the wonderful thing about this image is if you've been out and about this week, it's not as hot. It's hot here, but it's not as hot as it is in Haiti. But we get a sense of how hot it would be in the heat of the day. We're going to look at John chapter 4 and the woman at the well in the heat of the day, trudging with these water jugs. And in that time period, in early church history and in Palestine, they were not just taking it over paved sidewalks and roads. They were up mountains and filling these jugs. And what you find in this story in John chapter 4 is this is a metaphor for the way life sometimes appears to us. The trudge, the journey, the carrying of the water, that journey in the heat of the day, feeling parched and isolated. And so let us open up the Word of God and let it speak and learn about the character of God. And I pray this morning that as you learn about what it really means, that it will become a powerful force in your life. Will you join with me as we center our lives on God's Word? This is God's Word for my life in this place and at this time. Today, I am a new creation in Christ. I am God's very own, and I know He has a purpose for my life. Reading from John chapter 4, beginning with the fourth verse. Now, Jesus had to go through Samaria, so He came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near a plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Jacob. To his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" The disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it was that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go call your husband and then come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is that you had five husbands, and the man that you have now is not your husband. What you have said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know, and we worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and now come when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth." And the woman said, "I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. And when he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I, the one speaking to you, I am he." This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Father God, surround us with your grace. And Father, may in our parched lives and in the driest places of our existence, our doubts and fears, may they just be overrun with living water this morning as you teach and guide each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. The story of the woman of the well is the story that could be played out in any scenario in that ancient time. And yet it is such a metaphor for how we live our lives. And I wanted to start by asking you, what are the two central key components that make life worth living? The Bible really says that there are two things in your life that are necessary for a full and abundant life. Now, that's kind of a trick question because I've already thought about it, and I'm laying that on you. Here are the two central things the Bible hits on over and over and over again. What are the two components of every church, of every Christian? Love God, love others. Relationships. Relationships. What is your relationship to God? What is your relationship to significance and meaning, purpose and direction? How do you relate to that? What is your life all about? Where is your life going? How do you define a life in God's presence? Where is your life headed? What is your relationship to God? Second, what is your relationship to others? How do you get emotional support? How do you connect with other human beings? How do you feel connected to a family or a community? Having those two components are the keys or the cornerstone of a full and abundant life. What are the two things that are missing from this woman's life? A relationship to God. We're Samaritans. You Jews don't interact with us and with everybody else. You've often heard the story that this woman comes at noon in the heat of the day carrying these water jugs. Now, imagine, ladies, a 5-gallon bucket filled with water, all right? Carrying that in the heat of the day, maybe you carry two of them, in the heat of the day, in a week like this, 90 degrees, 90% humidity, every day, the drudgery of going down to the well, trying to avoid the gossip and avoid the looks and not really having anybody to have human conversation with, being alone and being isolated. But that's your lot in life. I was looking through some pictures trying to get this image of what would it be like to be in a parched and dry land and searching for some kind of meaning. And as I was looking over some slides, came across one little statement that there was this woman that was at the well, and at the very bottom there was, in handwriting, "Will I still be carrying water when I'm a dead woman?" That idea that's my lot in life. There's nothing more to be gained. Now, in the New Testament, Jesus takes on this idea of being parched and being isolated and being alone, but it's an Old Testament kind of vision of God as being that living water. And in Psalm 63, people talk about our being parched. In Psalm 63, it says, "You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you, and my whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water." I long to have that connection. I desperately need it. I am so dry. And so she comes to the well. Now, there's a lot of things that happen in this little story that kind of give it a lot of character and a lot of texture. First of all, where are all the disciples? What happened to all the disciples? It tells us, the writer of John's gospel tells us really clearly what happened to the disciples. They went to buy by the way, how many disciples does it take to go to the grocery store? It takes 12, right? Now, Jesus is at the well. And the disciple John says all of the disciples went into town to buy food. I wonder if that was just color or texture, or is John saying Jesus sent them away? Jesus saw something about to unfold, and the disciples would get in the way. We were doing our study, in our Bible study in Mark, that if you remember, there was the Syrophoenician woman that came crying after Jesus, and the disciples said, "Send her away. She's making too much noise. She's getting in our way. She's being a problem." Or do you remember when all the children came and they said, "Keep the children quiet. Children should be seen and not heard. Keep them quiet." And Jesus said, "No, you don't get it yet." I think specifically Jesus said, "I need the whole bunch of you to go into town. I need to do this by myself, one-on-one." And so he encounters her as an individual, as a person. And she comes in the heat of the day, all by herself, to draw water. Now, let's talk about the well. What is a well? A well, as many of you already know, were dug into the ground. They are also called cisterns. They were cisterns. What are cisterns? Well, they hold water. They keep it there. Now, when you've drawn water after a period of time, you've thrown that bucket down into the water, what happens to the water that's down there? It gets kind of churned up, and it's not crystal clear by any means. And sometimes it gets messy, and the cisterns that I've seen around here in West Virginia in the past, people have dug cisterns. A lot of times people are going, I don't know what's down there, and I don't really want to find out what's down there. But that's their water source. That's what day after day that she comes and she draws water. Now, when she comes on this day, and when we have an encounter with God, when we come to the well, if you're willing to come to the well, there's a couple of things you have to be prepared for. The first thing that we have to recognize is we have to be prepared for the unpredictable. The unpredictable. Jesus comes whenever you're not expecting it. And he upsets the apple cart. He upsets what is normal tradition. You can expect an encounter with God is going to upset the status quo. And we should expect that. We should expect that. The kingdom of God is not like our world. It upsets the way, the order of we do things. And so he comes and he says, will you give me some water? And she's going, that's so wrong on several levels. First of all, you're a Jew, I'm a Samaritan. Don't you know there are boundaries here? You guys hate us, and you don't ask us for anything. Number two, you're a male and I'm a female. Do you know how the indiscretion? And finally, she reveals, as Jesus goes deeper into her life, that she's living with this man over here. And he says, you've had five husbands. There's a brokenness in her life. And Jesus gets to that very core. And she says, I've never had anybody talk to me like that. When we encounter God, when we are in the presence of God, we have got to realize it is unpredictable. Get ready to have your apple cart upset. If you're one of those people that say, I love things predictable, I love to know right where everything's going to be, and I love that everything is just happening according to clockwork, then you don't create space for God to really begin to do things. You have to be a little vulnerable. The ability to enter in and let God mold you. Living water always does that. The second thing is you have to recognize that it is beyond our imagination. It's uncontrollable, it's unpredictable, and it's also unimaginable. Think about this image. Think about that image that Jesus puts out there. Not only am I going to give you water, I'll give you more water from the cistern. He doesn't say that. He said, I'm going to give you living water. Living water meant movement. It meant water that was a spring. It would spring up. Now think about that image. All these days, in the heat of the day, you're dipping your bucket into this muddy water. But that's the best, and you're filling up your jugs, and you're doing the labor, and you're pouring it, and then you've got to take these jugs, and you've got to probably walk 5 miles. One of the things that we saw when we were in Haiti are people that had these 5-gallon jugs. Do you remember that? They were putting them on their heads, and they were walking up these incredibly steep mountains. They were doing it because that's where the water was. They had to go to the well. And Jesus said, I'm going to get water that is beyond your imagination. It's going to be a spring. It's going to be bubbling up from the earth, from deep within. This water is going to come up. And how does it come up? Crystal clear and cold and abundant. If you will, a spring is wasteful. It is so much. It just continually overflows. It pours out. When you're done, it's still pouring out. And God and Jesus says, the water that I will give you will become a spring and it will well up to eternal life. Eternal life means not just the quantity whenever you die, that whenever it wells up, when you die, you'll have a place in heaven. It meant the quality of your life. It will refresh you. Imagine that woman saying, living water? You're going to give me a spring that's cold and fresh and it's on tap? And all I have to do is come collect it. It's there for me. If I'm willing to just collect it, it's there for me. It'll be fresh and invigorating, and it'll bring such blessings. And I wonder how many of us and our own people, our own community, are going through the drudgery of day by day, trying to eke out a living, trying to say, where do I get enough water? And God says, I want to give you living water. I want to give you water that just cascades over in abundance. There is living water. It's unpredictable. It's unimaginable in its size and its scope. And here's the most important part. It is also uncontrollable. It's uncontrollable. What happened to the woman? She kind of came in all, we didn't read this part of the story of John's gospel, but she has an encounter with Jesus. Her life is laid bare. This is who I am. And God said, I still want to be a blessing in your life. She receives this gift of being encountered with Jesus, not to be afraid anymore. What happens to her story? I encourage you to read the rest of that chapter of John's gospel. She runs into town. Remember all those people that were kind of gossiping? People that she was trying to avoid? People that she was frightened of? She was frightened to be around them? She now runs into their lives and says, I have found living water, true hope and joy that has changed my life, and I want it to have to you. When you have an encounter with God, Pastor Luke is saying, we have a mission because we have living water that we want to give away. It's constantly cascading out of us into everybody else. We're trying to find people that will take it. It is uncontrollable, and she runs into their lives. Take this living water. When you have an encounter with God, when you see God, God is extravagant. God is abundant. And God is forever changing our lives from what we thought it was. She came in saying, water is this little self-contained hole in the ground. And sometimes, and this is the tragedy for all of us. Sometimes when we say, what is Christianity like? Christianity, for us, it's like a little hole in the ground. And every once in a while, we go and we throw a bucket down there and we see if there's any grace that we can pull up. And then what we do is we kind of filter out all the dirt and the leaves and stuff. And God is saying, you know what faith is? It's living water. It bubbles up within you and it just cascades. And everybody around you is being changed. They're being refreshed and being restored and being renewed. Now, this is not just a New Testament idea. God consistently through the Old Testament is trying to share that. And in Isaiah chapter 41, I love this passage. God is revealing to the nation of Israel. He said, I will make rivers flow on barren heights and springs within the valleys. I will turn the desert into pools of water, and the parched ground into spring. God is waiting and willing to transform whatever's parched in your life, whatever's dry, whatever feels barren. There's no growth. There's no green. There's no life. He said, let me give you some living water, water that wells up, water that cascades into your family and your friends, that never leaves you dry, and never empties. You have never anything to fear because a spring will constantly be bubbling and gurgling from deep within the soil, deep within the earth. I saw a thing the other day, my final illustration. I heard the other day that in Florida, there are a lot of these little critters called alligators. And alligators seem to be all over the place. And wherever there's water, wherever there's a lake, or there's a stream or something, you have to be really careful because there might be alligators anywhere, and some of the alligators can get to be pretty large, except when you find springs. Wherever there are natural springs that bubble deep within, and some of these can be quite large pools, there are natural springs. People swim freely and joyfully, and it's it The people that I know from Tampa tell me that this is the best place because the water is clean and it's constantly being bubbled from within. And people will dive into this water and swim. There's no fear. There's just abundance. And they said, as you're doing that, you can feel free to drink the water because it's been purified as it's been filtered. And you just enjoy this day without fear. When you encounter with God, it's like being surrounded by living water. And so the challenge that I want to leave you with this morning to just think about, have you ever encountered God at the well? Have you ever had that conversation? Have you ever had that wrestling of dealing with the unpredictable, the unimaginable, and the uncontrollable? And if you feel the joy this morning of it welling up from deep within, let us pray. Father God, we give you thanks for the joy of living water. We pray, Father, that we would accept this gift, this grace, and this joy, and continue to experience you in our lives. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us now continue to worship God by the giving of our gifts, our tithes, and our offerings.